On the 10th of November 2010, massive demonstrations took place in the UK opposing state austerity measures and education policy changes. Specifically targeted was the coalition government's planned spending cuts to further education, which would see the increase of tuition fees while making cuts of up to 80% in university teaching budgets. School students added energy to the actions in protest over plans to end the £30 a week educational maintenance allowance for 16 to 19-year-olds from low-income families, which helps them to continue to higher education. These cuts followed the recommendations of a review into higher education by Lord Brown, a former BP chief executive, with the suggestion that the government should increase the tuition fees students pay from a maximum of £3,000 to a maximum cap of £9,000. Prior to the general election in May 2010, the Labour Party government commissioned a study into higher education funding. At the time, Nick Clegg, the leader of the Lib Dems, pledged that he would vote against any proposed increase in tuition fees if elected to Parliament. Clegg changed his position on the issues once in government, supporting the rise in tuition fees, and on the day of the protests, defended his change of position on fees and supported the proposals for an increase in Parliament. The demonstration on the 10th of November, organised by the NUS and the UCU, saw around 50,000 students, teachers and supporters, including the Labour Party, Plaid Cymru, the Green Party, Socialist Workers' Party, Revolution, the Young Communist League and the Revolutionary Communist Group, as well as a few members of Parliament and representatives of the National Pensioners Convention, take to the streets in London. Protesters came from around the UK, Scotland and Northern Ireland. The march moved from Whitehall past Downing Street to outside the Tate Britain and the Milbank Tower offices of the Tory Party in Westminster. The frustration and energy of the protesters was palpable. The building was occupied by around 200 people, with thousands outside in support. Windows were smashed, and it was clear that protesters were ready to take direct action against the cuts. The police were overrun, and one participant commented that riot police have not been defeated like this since the poll tax. Police later kettled demonstrators in Milbank Square, and repercussions saw the arrest of 54 people, 10 of whom were aged under 18, and the majority of whom were students. In the week beginning the 22nd of November, tens of thousands of students walked out of schools, colleges and universities across the country. On the 24th of November, a demonstration of around 5,000 people took place in London. Here's what some of those that were present had to say about why they were there.
And we're here because we want to fuse the students and the school students together to save secondary, further and higher education, which is being seriously cut back by the government. It's not just about the fees, but it's also about the cuts to EMA and the gigantic 80% teaching cuts which are going to happen to the new universities.
I think that a lot of people saw what happened at Milbank and, you know, saw how angry people were, especially kids my age who didn't really go to Milbank and didn't really know much about what was happening, and then realised that all the uni students were kind of doing it for us and our generation, and, you know, a whole sort of generation of kids almost got politicised by it and realised, oh fuck, we need to do something before, you know, the coalition government completely destroys our education. So I think that, yeah, pretty much. And I think that, I just think that, yeah, loads of people came along today because they felt that they needed to do something before it was too late.
Well, I'm a master's student, so technically tuition fees, you know, for undergrads isn't such an issue for me, but I just think it's really important that we turn around and say that the people who've made the decision to increase fees and incidentally to implement them under Labour generally benefited from free or subsidised education. They're the ones who've benefited from house price increases and all the other sort of things which are causing problems in terms of rent, cost of living, etc., for students and potential students over the next decade or so. And I just think it's really wrong that those people can turn around and say, we're very sorry, but because of our friends in the banking industry and because of a global economic crisis, we'll be removing those things from you without turning around to those who are already wealthier, who've already benefited from education, and charging them instead.
The demonstration left from the University of London and progressed to Trafalgar Square before heading down Whitehall, where the progress of the march was blocked by riot vans. Police moved in to create a kettle of around 3,000 people, many of whom were young students and teenagers, held for up to 9 hours in freezing temperatures. I spoke to some of those in the kettle on the day.
Well, I'm here because they're trying to destroy everything that's good in the British educational system. I mean, I think this is more than actually just about the educational system. We're having a basic political conversation here through deeply physical ways about meaning of life, about what's important in our society, the soul of the nation, one could almost say.
Mm-hmm. And
And can you say, can you maybe comment a little bit on the different sort of constituencies that are being traversed between high school students, university students and university workers?
Well, you know, I actually was away for a lot of the planning, so I was kind of surprised when I showed up here to see how young people are. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because these are the people who are really going to be affected, especially by the fees, but by the whole nature of the educational system. I mean, the fees is not just about money. In a way, framing this as an argument about money is missing the entire point. The argument is about whether the argument should just be about money, whether there is anything to life except for money. And I think people are just deeply, deeply insulted by the, you know, first being told that you're a bunch of selfish consumers who don't care about anything, art, civilization, the understanding of human life and society, except insofar as you can get money out of it. I mean, I think politicians should speak for themselves. Yes, all they care about is wealth and power, but that doesn't mean that other people are like that. And so people are deeply insulted about that, but at the same time they know that the real purpose of the tuition raise is to make them into debt slaves and to reduce them into that sort of person who has to think about nothing but money because they have no choice.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see this relating to the wider sort of political context of austerity measures?
I think that austerity measures are not an economic measure in any sense. They are a political measure. They are an attack on anything that might look like an alternative principle of life, an alternative form of value to financial capital. I think that there was a moment when, 2008, when the people we were all told were the smartest people in the world and the only people capable of running an economy, of running anything, you know, the word was all these bankers, financiers, economists, they might be bastards, they might be selfish creeps, but you know, they at least they know what they're doing. Then it turned out they had no idea what they were doing. And it, what was supposed to be their greatest skill, they turned out to be utterly incompetent in, which is measuring value. So I think what they are doing now is, and their only response is a massive assault on anything that might look like an alternative source of value. And that's what universities are about. That's where we think about things like that. We think about what other ideas of what life should be about could be, about what value is, what the purpose of human life and activity in society actually can or should be. And they're making a direct assault on everybody who might even be the source of an alternate idea of what life is about.
So can you tell me why you're here today?
To protest about the fees. We're going to uni in 2 years and the fees will be up to $9,000. Some of us can't even afford it. So to get certain qualifications it takes years, and if you're paying $9,000 a term, is it? Yeah, $9,000 a term for say 5 years, that's like $45,000. And also it affects students coming into the country that want to study in London and in England. Yeah.
And why do you think it's important to go on demos and protests? Like, why have you walked out of school today? Do you think that these sorts of things achieve anything?
So we're kind of serious about the issue, and hopefully they'll do something to change it, maybe, if people turn up.
Okay.
People do nothing, that like bad things happen, you know, like you have to like stand together. Even if it doesn't actually affect you, you should still be out here showing your support for everyone else.
It does affect us. This is probably the biggest thing they're going to do that affects us. And I mean, we're only 16, we couldn't vote. They're doing something that we didn't vote for, and that really, really annoys us. They're not going to lower the vote to 16, and yet they're still deciding our future. We are the future. We're going to be the ones to govern. We're going to be the ones to police jobs, plumbers, whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're messing us over.
Are you worried that there's going to be repercussions at your school?
We're so screwed. We're suspended already.
The school isn't supporting us. That's what annoys us even more.
There were going to be more of us, but they actually managed to cut off the gates. We were like the first people out, and then the rest got stuck in school.
A few places have been occupied, which is great. Of course, there are different types of occupations, but the important thing, I guess, is just have a proliferation of small things happening on your workplace and study place, yeah, as well as these big demonstrations. I think a lot of people are not here because they're actually doing things in the place where they study, which is great. And after all, this was a walkout, so it was very much to engage students and to engage teachers in whatever we're trying to protest for. I like the fact that more and more people are bringing something of their own to this demo, so it's not just pre-printed placards, which is great. And there are lots of petitions, and there are the UCU signing motions, there are all sort of like mailing lists going on, blogs going on, a lot of independent media kind of just trying to report and trying to contrast what mainstream media have been showing. So I think it's kind of like it's growing, and it's growing in a very fragmented way, which is good, I mean, in a good sense.
Mm-hmm. And can you maybe explain very quickly about why you're holding a carrot?
Yes, I'm holding a carrot because it's a very good metaphor to start talking to people about what the current system has on hold for us as a future, and how the current system is keeping us at bay in the present with the promise of something that will never come. And I think it resonates both with the idea that the government is holding this dangling carrot in front of us, but it's also finally showing the stick, which, well, I guess was there all along, but it's just, I think now people are suddenly realizing, first of all, that the carrot, which is whatever they aim to achieve, whatever dangled in front of us, be it a job at the end of education or repaying your student loan or whatever, getting a house, having your kids in nurseries when you grow old enough to have kids, has now been shattered.
Around 2,000 others remained outside the kettle and in the surrounding area. Skirmishes took place between police and some of the kettle protesters, fires were lit, and an abandoned police van, which some have said amounted to entrapment, was trashed. Some of those kettled were still being held late into the evening, and mounted police charged peaceful crowds, which included children. There were reports of 32 arrests and snatch squads. A subsequent day of action was called for Tuesday the 30th of November, including a kettle carnival, which saw thousands of protesters in London lead cops on a cat and mouse chase around the city. Around 2,000 protesters were kettled at Trafalgar Square in the early afternoon, with individuals being released throughout the day. By the evening, around 100 protesters, many teenagers, were still kettled, and snatch squads were being reported. Many de-arrests took place, and police claimed 153 arrests for breach of the peace and violent disorder. Protesters were also being asked for their details, some filmed by FIT teams. I later spoke to some people that were present, gathered at UCL.
Well, we came late to the main demo, so the people were about to get kettled in Parliament Square. There was a lot of police there, and I think then at some point people just decided to go off in smaller groups. So the small group that we were in, which was about 200 people or something like that, we walked down Regent Street, Oxford Street. We just drifted through the city, basically.
It was quite wonderful. Nobody knew which way we were going. Which way are we going? I don't know. We're just going.
Yeah. But we stopped the traffic, which was quite nice. And we talked to people.
We went all the way through Oxford Street, which was quite a good place to be.
Yeah, it would have been a good place to also occupy a shop or something like that. But somehow we were moving quite fast. The police really tried to catch us a few times. But
they push us.
Yeah. There was a lot of these kind of groups of 100, 200 people just appearing all of a sudden at street corners, so it was quite nice.
It was wonderful. You saw a group of young people, and you're like, yeah, that's where they are! That's where they are!
Yeah, very really different. Young kids.
Yeah, singing and chanting.
It was
free and excited.
Yeah, and moving fast. I think it felt much more liberating than standing in a demo, really. Or even just moving, yeah, with a huge crowd of people somehow.
Mm-hmm. Once you got to Trafalgar Square in the end, it was like, okay, now we can just run around here. But before, we were really all running around the city centre, and that was really nice because you just interact much more with everybody.
Many students have also occupied spaces in their universities and are holding meetings, workshops and teach-ins in the spirit of free education for all. On the 24th of November, 24 unis were occupied.
I'm very, very optimistic about the occupation movement. I think that's great. I mean, you know, people break glass, it's expressive, as long as nobody gets hurt. You know, I suppose that has a good effect in some certain ways. We can all argue about it. But it doesn't matter in the long run how people express themselves so much as what they do after that. What's really important is trying to create a university that we'd like to see. And I think that the occupations are not just a way of making demands, they really are a form of direct action. They're a way of going out there and saying, we are going to take these buildings, which are supposed to be for us, and we're going to make them really for us. We're going to create the university we'd like to see. We're going to create the type of learning we'd like to see, the type of discussion we'd like to see, types that are actually deeply embedded in practice and deeply embedded in the world as it is, but also theoretical, profound, transformative. I mean, a lot of people have told me the greatest educational experiences just on a purely intellectual level they've ever had in their lives were during the Middlesex occupation. And you think we need to reproduce that everywhere in this country.
Around the UK, demands have been issued by occupiers to abolish the proposed cuts, calling on various university administrators to publicly refuse to comply with governmental decisions to cut courses and raise fees. Demands have also included promises against compulsory staff redundancies, no repression of or repercussions for protesters, and for the full disclosure of university finances. The Really Open University at Leeds has published a call for three reforms as follows. Reform 1. We suggest a reform of university funding to take account of who ultimately profits from it. University education should be free, and we should be waged throughout the time we are studying. We suggest corporation tax alone is used to fully fund the university system and to provide a living wage to all students. The university must also become freed from market demands and redesigned to meet the multifarious needs of society, not the single demand of the market. Reform 2. Since 1990, students in the UK have had to increasingly subsidise the wealth of their future employers. Total student debt now stands at more than 26 billion. We propose that all existing student debt be cancelled. Reform 3. The REF and the NSS turn education and research into a numbers game, serving no purpose but to create markets within and between universities. These measurements should be abolished, and alternative mechanisms devised that hold teaching accountable to students and research accountable to society, not the market.
I'm not sure we're fighting for universities, at least not the universities that we know. Not the universities that have been there for the past 10 years since the introduction of fees. And we're not fighting for the universities that were there before either. Because we see those as places where people are taught how to go into the job market and to fit in and to see themselves as managers of the system.
I think they're more fighting for education.
Yeah.
And the idea that education should be affordable, or rather should be free.
Yeah.
It should be for everyone. And that means that we are also fighting against tightening of immigration controls, the point-based immigration system. We are fighting for every barrier that is put in front of people when they want to educate themselves. So if that takes place in a university or not, for me at least, it's kind of secondary.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the governments taking making a different decision or taking a different route on the route of cuts and cutting, you know, something like Trident instead of cutting education, which is, you know, such a cherished beacon of sort of, you know, hope for so many people.
I think we need a national education strike to stop these cuts to education as a start. And I think beyond that, actually, we need to be fighting for a general strike. I think that's what it's going to take to get rid of this government's overall austerity programme.
It's becoming more and more clear that people don't want the university to return to how it was. Instead, what is being called for is something different, a reimagination of the university and education that is free for all. Talks of a general strike are also going on. With growing public resentment against the austerity measures and support of students, strikes by firefighters and tube workers, the storming of the Lewisham Town Hall during a vote on the cuts, blockades of shops owned by tax dodgers, and ever-increasing university occupations, the parliamentary voting on the education reform in mid-December will certainly inspire more dissent. Keep listening for more updates.